is Dr. Diana Wilman Bucklew, who is Director for the Bachelor of Science in Health Sciences Program and an Associate Professor at Jefferson College of Health Sciences in Roanoke, Virginia. She has a PhD in Public Health with a specialization in Epidemiology, an MS in Forensic Science, and a BS in Biology and Chemistry. She has several years of experience as a college educator and working in clinical and forensic laboratories, and her research interests are on influenza and vaccination. So,
thank you.
Do you want some water?
I think I'm good, thank you. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being here today. I wasn't sure what to expect on the last day. If you know, I'd only have a couple people here, but we had a good turnout, so I'm glad that we have some people here today. I first of all, before I move on, just want to acknowledge Dr. Amy Ferraro for her work and all her guidance and help through my dissertation study and with my actual study itself. She was a tremendous help to me throughout the whole process. I do not have any financial disclosures or relationships to disclose. So for the sake of time, because most of you are probably familiar with a lot of stats with influenza, I'm just going to hit some of the highlights here as the introduction, because I was trying to think, how am I going to take my entire dissertation and put it into about 15 minutes? That was, I thought, going to be a little challenge. So I'm going to hit some of the highlights and really focus on what I found in my study. The CDC recommends that all individuals over the age of 6 months have the flu shot each year. It's also recommended that all healthcare personnel have a flu shot, and it's one of the targets for Healthy People 2020 to have 90% of healthcare personnel get the flu shot. Right now, we're at about mid-60% for vaccine uptake with the healthcare personnel. Why is this important? Because, you know, we don't want those that are helping those that are already sick or are high-risk patients going out and getting the flu and passing that on to others, especially because those that are over 65 are the ones that have the highest rates of influenza-related deaths. So why did I decide to conduct this study? I've been teaching at Jefferson College now for over 15 years, and a lot of our students are in clinicals, and I can't tell you how many times I have seen students come into class just sick, fever, coughing, runny nose, and yet, boy, they're ready to go as soon as they leave my class to head out to clinicals at the hospital. And I would say to them, gosh, you know, maybe you should just not go today. And they're like, no, I've got to go. If I don't go to my clinicals, I'm going to get a bad grade. So there they go. And I always think, oh, my gosh, how many patients and other people just around are going to get sick because they went to their clinicals being sick already. So that was one reason. The other thing that I noticed is when it's flu season, I'd say, oh, everybody get their flu shot? No, I don't get my flu shot. I don't need a flu shot. I've never had the flu. And I thought, that's just the wrong attitude for our future healthcare providers. I mean, they just don't see the benefit or understand why it was so important to get the flu shot each year. So I thought, you know, I'm going to find out if it's just me thinking that a lot of students just don't get the flu shot, or is that really the case that most of them don't? So that's why I undertook this study. And when I went through the literature, I did find that for undergraduate students, there wasn't a lot out there in the literature except for nursing students. But nursing is only one of the many healthcare professions out there. So I thought, you know, this is a good way for me to kind of assess non-nursing students too. So my study was to first of all look to see, what did they know about the flu and the flu shot? And also to assess their risk. In other words, did they think they were at risk for getting the flu, or did they think there were risks with getting the flu shot? And I also wanted to look at whether or not I could take my variables and predict if knowledge and perceived risk had anything to do with them getting the flu shot. So I used the health belief model as my theoretical framework, and my perceived risk questions really addressed some of the parts of this with the susceptibility, the severity, the perceived benefits, and the perceived threats. So, for the methods for my study, this was a cross-sectional study that was conducted only at Jefferson College of Health Sciences and only with undergraduate students, because that's really where most of our students are and also where I really found the gap in the literature to be. I'll tell you a little bit about Jefferson College of Health Sciences. We are a small private college that offers associate, bachelor's, and master's degrees only in healthcare-related programs. We are an affiliate of Carilion Clinic, which is the largest healthcare provider in Southwest Virginia, with employing over 12,000 employees. So it's a pretty large healthcare system for Southwest Virginia. The study started a week after they came back to school a year ago in August and lasted for about a month. It was an internet-based survey that had 32 questions and was powered by Instant Survey. It took the students, on average, I could look at the time from the time they started to finish, about 5 minutes, less than 10, to complete the survey. So with my study, I will say that anyone under 18 was excluded, graduate students were excluded, as well as non-degree students, those that may have just been there part-time taking a couple classes. So they were excluded from this study. So they had to be enrolled in one of our healthcare programs. 863 undergraduate students were recruited by email, and the initial email that went out just told a little bit about the study, and it had the survey URL in it. So if they wanted to participate, they could click on the URL. It took them then to the consent page, where they then could decide at the end, it says, if you agree to, you know, if you complete the survey, that is basically your consent for participating in the study. So then, luckily, I ended up with 299 students, which is about a 35% response rate, which I felt very fortunate to get. And every student that completed the survey had the option at the end to print a $5 gift certificate to the JCHS bookstore. Now, interesting thing about that, I only had about half of the students that took the survey actually redeem their gift certificates in the bookstore. I also received a few unhappy students emailing me and telling me how unhappy they were that they got to the end of the survey and couldn't print their gift certificate because they took it on their laptop or they took it on their smartphone or their tablet. So lesson learned for me, okay, don't have them print anymore, because I guess I was the old school thinking, oh, I'll sit down at a computer or my printer next to me and take this survey. I know next time not to do that. So for those students that emailed me, I did verify that they took the survey, and I just emailed them the gift certificate, of which then I usually got a, oh, thank you very much note. But some of the emails I got weren't very nice to me when they couldn't print their gift certificate. Okay, so what did I find in my study? First of all, as you can see by the median age, it was 25, which our student population does tend to be an older student population. We don't have a lot of students that are right out of high school, the 18 or 19-year-olds that come to this college. It does have a dorm, but we only have about 100 students that live in the dorm, so it's primarily a commuter college, and also students that are either, you know, coming in already with a couple years of college or that are changing careers. So the mean age for the study fell right along with what the mean age is of the college students. Also, when I looked at the academic level, about two-thirds were in their first 2 years, classified as either bachelor's degree, freshman and sophomore, or they were enrolled in our associate degree program. The other ones were classified as junior and seniors in our bachelor's programs. Participant demographics, 80%, over 80% female, and about 87% white. This does match very closely to our student population at Jefferson. It is primarily female and primarily white. So these numbers were very, very close to our overall student population. So, in my study, what I wanted to do is I asked three questions to really look at, you know, vaccine and behaviors. So the first thing I wanted to find out was, did they get the flu shot last year, which in that time it was for the 2011-2012 season? And what I found was that 44% of the students, you know, said that they did get the flu shot, but that meant 56% didn't get the flu shot. The next question I wanted to find out was, had they ever gotten the flu shot? So before 2011, and 63% said yes. The follow-up question then was, you know, could you recall when the last year you got the flu shot was? The majority that had received the flu shot before the previous influenza season was in 2010. So the majority of those had gotten the flu shot in 2010 and then followed up in 2011 for that next part. Then the last question was, do you intend to get the flu shot in the future? 50% said yes. I'm like, yep, that's good. But then I had 21% say no and 29% that were unsure. So that's about 50% of those respondents that said no were unsure. So that was a concern for me because these students are our future healthcare workers. And for me, I would just think everybody would say yes. I mean, that's just the way I would think. But what I'm finding is that's not the case. That 50% almost said no or they were unsure whether they were going to get the flu shot. So this is a very condensed table of my participant demographics. But just to go through and show you a little bit, it looks at the percent vaccine uptake during my for the study participants, and I broke them down into different categories. So you can see by the age, this in the 17 to 24 age range, about 40%. And as we went up into 35% and older, you know, over 55% had gotten the flu shot. Males and females, females had a little bit higher rate of getting the flu shot, which was interesting when I looked at the national statistics and compared it, that falls right in line with what we see overall nationally, that more females tend to get the flu shot than males. Race-wise, it was pretty close with the white, black, other, very few students that come to this college are non-white. So there were very few, but we did see that some of the others that fell into the Asian or the Hispanics that were in the other group did have a higher rate of vaccine uptake. But between blacks and white, they were pretty close. The next thing I wanted to look at was program of study, because what we find when they've done studies of, you know, influenza vaccine uptake rates in healthcare professionals is that those in the allied health sciences, allied health fields, tend to have lower vaccine uptake rates than those in like nursing and medical fields. So I wanted to see if that was the case. And what I really found was there wasn't a whole lot of variation for our students that were in the various programs. Starting with biomedical sciences down to nursing, those are our bachelor's level programs. And OTA, which is the occupational therapist assistant, physical therapist assistant, respiratory therapy, and associate of science, those are our associate degree programs. I did find that nursing overall was underrepresented in this particular study, but I did have participation from all of the programs. Now, healthcare management was higher than what the others were, but most of those are older individuals. They're already working in healthcare, and they needed to have a bachelor's degree in order to have promotion or to move into supervisory positions within Carilion Clinic. So that kind of accounts for why we see the higher rates there. Degree-wise, you can see associate and bachelor's are pretty close in the 40%. So one of the things I wanted to look to is for those that did not get the flu shot. So if you answered no, I did not get the flu shot, there was a prompt then to say, well, if you did not get the flu shot, why not? And what I found was there was three main reasons. One, that students just didn't feel like they had the time. They thought it was inconvenient to go get a flu shot, and they just didn't want the vaccine. And there are various other reasons that are listed, as you can see. At the very bottom, the others, those are things that didn't fit into any of the above categories. They, for example, said, I just forgot. I'm super healthy, so I never get sick. I don't need to get the flu shot. That I saw that a couple times on there. 2 minutes. Okay. I need to hurry up then. Okay, so knowledge and perceived risk. What I found with knowledge is that they had a good knowledge, and perceived risk fell right around in anywhere between low to moderate perceived risk. And knowledge was 12 true-false questions. Perceived risk was assessed by 10 questions that were Likert scale based. I did find through a t-test that there were significant differences between vaccinated and unvaccinated students for both knowledge and perceived risk. When I looked at predictors, I found 3 predictors. Perceived risk, so in other words, higher perceived risk, greater chances of getting the flu shot, prior vaccination, as well as patient contact outside of Jefferson College. In other words, they work in the healthcare field. So when I did this logistic regression, those were the 3 things that I found were predictors of vaccine uptake in the student population. So other things, I'll just hit the highlights here. Most common places they got the flu shot were the physician's office or another healthcare facility and the pharmacy. That juniors and seniors tended to have higher vaccine uptake than the other students, and the associate programs were both right around 40%. So I felt we needed to take further action because we were nowhere near the 90% that we need to be, especially with the new joint commission things that are coming around by 2020, we need to have 90%. So we actually organized an intervention that just took place, say boo to the flu and get your free flu shot. This was a big event that we held on campus. We had drawings and everybody got the flu shot, had a little giveaway, a pen or a keychain, and there was food there. And I actually had student organizations with volunteers that came to help out with this. We were handing out flyers in the lobby. And we actually had 112 participants at this particular flu shot clinic. We had had one earlier at the end of September where we had about 100 students. So I felt like we had a pretty good turnout for our first time of doing this event. And this was also the first year that Carilion Clinic had ever said that they would pay for all of our students to get the flu shot, which was really good because in the past, they did not pay for the students to get the flu shot. So I really congratulate our president for working that out. So I did conduct a study of graduate students that just ended a few weeks ago. But I would like to go on further and find out, you know, why do students not get the flu shot? And also conduct this at other health science colleges to see what the results might be. So in summary, we still have a ways to go to get our student population up to the recommendations for getting the flu shot each year. That knowledge and perceived risk, there is a difference between those that get the flu shot and those that don't, and that the 3 predictors are perceived risk, prior vaccination, which I just want to mention with prior vaccination, that is consistent with other studies, that prior vaccination is a strong predictor of future vaccination. And that students that already worked in healthcare fields with patient contact also had higher vaccine uptake rates. So in conclusion then, I just feel that as an educator and those of us that work in the healthcare field, that we really need to, you know, take action to make sure that our students understand the benefits of getting flu shots each year. And we also need to overcome some of those barriers, which I hope that we did at the college this year by offering the free flu shots at the college itself for students. And also that students need to understand it's their ethical responsibility as future healthcare providers to actually get the flu shot each year. So, and I want to acknowledge real quick Dr. Richard Palmer, who also assisted me with this study, Jefferson College for my $2,000 grant, and Walden University, who I conducted this study for my dissertation. Okay, thank you. Are you going to take questions at the end?
You can take them now. Okay. Are there any questions? And let me just say there's some seats up here. Feel free to come on down.
Okay, do you have a question?
I'm very
Oh, okay.
I'm curious as to what the healthcare institutions that are doing the clinical training for these students are asking for or requiring in terms of flu vaccination, yeah. People that are going
Yes, well, thank you for asking that, because I did have questions in my survey about that. There are two main hospital systems in the Roanoke Valley. One of them requires all employees and all students doing clinicals at that hospital to have the flu shot. Carilion Clinic only recommends it. However, Carilion Clinic in the last couple of years has taken huge steps now to see that employees are vaccinated, as well as I think this year by offering the free flu shots to students to help promote that within the student population. But one requires it, the other, the Carilion Clinic only recommends it. So I think there, though, is a push to get more students there vaccinated. Okay, do you have a, one right behind you in the blue shirt? Okay, go ahead. And at this point, like I said, only students that were going to Lewis Gale Hospital had and were doing clinicals there, had to get the flu shot. It was optional for the other students if they were going to be primarily in a Carilion Clinic setting. And I do hope to look at more of the barriers, because what I find just in my conversations with students is that it's like they know they should get the flu shot, but they just don't make the time for it. They just don't, you know, they have such busy lives. Most of them work and go to school full time. A lot of them have families. And I think they just put that kind of on their to-do list, but they never get to it. But that's one of the things I want to explore, maybe do some focus groups at the campus and find out a little bit more about why have you not gotten the flu shot?
I think one more, okay. And then if we have time at the end, we can.
Okay.
Just an interesting event. Yesterday's online JAMA announced that New York legislature has passed a law saying that all people involved in healthcare delivery must either get immunized against flu or wear a mask. Very timely.
Yep.
And
yes.
Event.
Okay. All right. Thank you.